The word of God given to us today are Acts chapter 12, verse 18 and 19 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. It is already well known that some individuals and organizations that have been sour on and uncomfortable with our church have groundlessly condemned and attacked for the past 4 years. That is an attempt to destroy our church, which was founded to take care of and to preserve Yangwatin Foreign Missionary Cemetery and Korean Mature Memorial Hall, two major shrines of Korean Christianity. Lately, the presbytery of the denomination I already seceded from even accused me of practicing heresy and reported it to the prosecutorial committee of presbytery, distorting the meaning of a sentence in one of my books. But it ended up like observed happening when they said to media that they would delete the word heresy in their bill of indictment due to their insufficient preparation. I don't know what the meaning of insufficient preparation is. Anyhow, detailed information related to this matter is posted on the homepage of our church and anybody can refer to it. Hundreds of young people in their 20s and 30s have sent me cheering letters and messages worrying if I can withstand and finally succumb to this observed attack from outside. It is not possible for me to reply each one of them all, but I pay my great gratitude to them right now here. Then there was a question on faith in the letter of a young man. How can I be bold and unshaken in any situation without worrying about anything? How can it be possible? Today's scripture shows us the answer. The night before his beheading, Peter, dramatically rescued by God from the prison, tightly guarded by a fortress, went to the house of Mary, the mother of John called Mark, where his fellow Christians gathered and prayed for him. Peter explained to them, who couldn't believe his returning alive, how he was rescued from the prison, and asked them to tell James, a brother of Jesus, and others about it. And he left for somewhere else. All these things happened in the middle of the night. In today's scripture, verse 18 and 19, in the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. As soon as the day broke, there was a great disturbance in the prison. Peter, whose both hands were tied with the hands of two soldiers with a chain, completely disappeared in the prison guarded by another two soldiers. They searched everywhere in prison, but they couldn't find Peter. There was no trace of prison breaking at all. Guards were clueless what had happened. However, it was not caused by their fault or negligence either. Since it was God's mysterious work, it was not their responsibility. They were loyal to their job as usual. However, when he found out what happened, furious, Herod Agrippa killed them after interrogation. We know well how Herod made his soldiers keep watch and ward Peter closely. He selected 16 soldiers to take turns in 4 shifts to guard Peter's prison cell only. It was unprecedented that in order to guard one prisoner in such a small cell, 16 soldiers were mobilized. On that very night of his rescue, therefore, the 4-member night shift was keeping their eyes on Peter closely. If Herod killed the night shift only, the number of executed guardians was 4. And if he killed all the soldiers placed in the whole prison, the number of deaths was far more than that. On that night, God saved only one person, Peter. However, at least 4 persons lost their lives due to Peter. Life of one person has claimed the lives of many people. As in the words of Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, that not one of a sparrow falls to the ground apart from God's will. The work was done according to his will. God treasures Peter that much. In order to save a single life, at least 4 lives were taken. Peter learned the fact thoroughly by his life, testifies in later in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Peter was not at all afraid of any trials to come. He experienced through his life God's complete protection that gave lives of 4 guardians to take Peter. He was assured that no matter how painful in the world would bring about a great joy after all by God. Sure. His firm belief as such was based not on Peter himself, but just God who exchanged the life of one person with those of four watchmen. Here, one can bring up a question. If God took the lives of four watchmen for one person, Peter, God is unfair, isn't it? As mentioned earlier, there was nothing wrong done by the watchmen. They did their best for the duty as usual. But it was just unfortunate that they, as limited men, could not recognize Almighty's work, which was done so mysteriously. On all accounts, therefore, the watchmen were not responsible at all for Peter's escape from the prison. Nevertheless, the innocent soldiers were subject to death because of Peter's rescue. All was made under the providence of God. Then, how can we say God is righteous and God is love? This is quite a rational and proper question to make. Yet, we must not overlook the importance that lies in its basis. If a person raises such a question, he regards himself, consciously or unconsciously, in the same light as the watchman. But if one identifies himself as Peter rescued from the death while reading the scripture, he wouldn't make such questions. We can tell it from Peter after he was saved. The day after Peter was brought out of prison, did he condemn or criticize the Lord for letting at least four guards to be executed, arguing that the Lord was unfair? No, he never did. Why did the Lord exchange at least four lives of the guards for his trivial life? Or why did the Lord let those guards be killed instead of him? It was useless for Peter to find answer to these questions. What is most important to Peter was the very fact that God loved him so much as to trade at least four lives of those guards for his life. As evidenced by 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, therefore, Peter was very moved by such love of the Lord, so that he could remain faithfully to the Lord in all kinds of trials, because he was empowered by the Lord. In this regard, anyone who identifies himself with Peter would keep on believing in the Lord under any circumstances as Peter did. On Thursday night, the third executive director of the Council for the 100th anniversary of the Korean Church, and Reverend Chung Jin-kyung passed away at the age of 88. I found the late Reverend Chung a very tender person throughout my 4 years of relationship with him. Many Christians misunderstand the meaning of tenderness. They usually use this term with good intentions to describe a person who is indecisive or does not get his job done properly. As we learned in Matured Believers class, however, tenderness in the Bible or proutis is originally related to the nature of wild animals. For example, a wild horse is very tough and untamed. Once a trainer tames the wild horse, however, the horse uses his toughness not for himself, but for his owner, though the horse still holds his tough nature. This is a tenderness. As a result, with the order of his owner, a trained horse runs even under the rain of arrows or stops even though he is dying to run. That's why a trained wild horse is much better than a domestic one. Because a trained wild horse is tender, as mentioned earlier. Tender Christians are like these horses. Like Moses and Paul, they use everything they have, including their nature, power, and ability, only for their Master, Jesus Christ. Therefore, only a tender person can follow the path of Jesus Christ without wavering in his faith. For the past 4 years, the late Reverend Chung stood firm in protecting Yanglajin, a sacred site of Korean church, in the midst of accusations and libels against him. It is common that the more you aged, the more importance you put on your reputation gained in your lifetime. Reverend Chung, however, just remained tender without compromising or giving up in the face of lies, injustice, or pressure. I've always wondered how he could remain tender without wavering in his faith under any circumstances. That curiosity was satisfied by reading Reverend Chung's autobiography, which is titled With a Clear Goal Comes a Way, and was ghostwritten by a deaconess of our church, Lee Yujin. It was the summer of 1950 when Seoul fell to North Korea by its sudden attack. Reverend Chung Jin-kyung, then 29, who then served as a pastor in Haewadong, Seoul, sought shelter in a cave deep in a mountain and lived there for some time with a judge. The judge was much older than Reverend Chung. Struggling with painful hunger, Reverend Chung and the judge went down the mountain and begged food in a villager's house. because they ate enough for a long time, they fell asleep. And they were arrested by the North Korean military, informed by the villagers. It turned out that the judge was whom the North was eager to catch. That judge told the North Korean army, "I hid myself, but this child did not hid himself. His parents did so, since he is the eldest grandson of the family. So he is innocent." Reverend Zhang, with such a white face, abruptly became a teenage student by the judge in front of the North Korean soldiers. An officer took the judge to the Council of People's Commissioners and told his subordinate to convict the child after checking if anyone else who still survived in the cave. The judge taken by the officer was, needless to say, destined to be stabbed with a bamboo spear after standing on the people's court. The soldier went to the cave in the mountain, taking Reverend Zhang, and checked the site and aimed at Reverend Zhang with a machine gun. It was the moment he was about to shoot him. Suddenly, there was a thundering noise from the sky. It was a U.S. Air Force plane. The North Korean soldier kept shooting at the plane relentlessly till the plane went over the mountain. When they again aimed Reverend Zhang, there remained no bullet anymore. The North Korean soldiers could have hit the head of Reverend Zhang with a butt plate, and he could have killed Reverend Zhang by pushing him down to the valley. The soldiers, however, said to Reverend Zhang to go home and get ready to be a North Korean soldier, going down the mountain as if he was bedazzled. The Lord who saved Peter on the verge of decapitation again saved Reverend Zhang from the valley of death. There were evidently two persons in the cave. Then why did the God save just Reverend Zhang? God let the judge, who had a far greater experience than young Cheng Jikyong, saved only young Cheng Jikyong and let himself go die. That was not a question that Reverend Zhang would ask. What matters for Reverend Zhang was the fact that God loved him so much, to an extent that his life was changed with the one of the great judge. As he experienced in person such an amazing truth, Reverend Zhang lived his life as a gentle Christian with a steadfast faith toward God under any circumstances. On April 21st, 2005, I first met Reverend Chung. I cannot forget the tears in his eyes on that day. As far as I am here as a Yanghuazhen keeper, I cannot forget the tears. On that day, when members of the council visited me to entrust me with the church that has a mission to guard and manage Yanghuazhen, there was Reverend Chung, the eldest among them. He said that since they are too old with one foot in the Jordan, I should become the keeper with the teary eyes. Facing the tears, I promised them that I will be the Yanghuazhen keeper, going against my conviction that I will not take pastoral duties again. Since after, Reverend Zheng has felt a sense of responsibility that I resumed the church ministry to keep my promise with him by giving up my belief and tolerate all kinds of condemnation and criticism to keep Yanghuazhen safe as a shrine of Korean church. So he could keep himself calm and aloof, forgetting his old age, even under many hours of police interrogation, because the Union Church's frequent sues. On that night, when I called him, he said it didn't matter to him as long as Yanghuazhen can be kept right, even if he was insulted. Until the day before he passed away, he met journalists and defended Yanghuazhen. And he sent a letter to our church and church members for the first time and the last time, even on the day when he passed away. Dear brothers and sisters of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, praise the Lord for His unfathomed providence and grace. 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, which was founded in July 2005, has been growing beautifully for the last 4 years as a new hope in the Christian of inside and outside of the country, which seeks for being truly church-like. I'm really grateful that it is a precious fruit borne by the work of faith, the effort of love, and the endurance of hope that are from the pastor and his congregation strengthened by the Spirit of God. Your church has worked to take care of Yanghuazhen foreign missionaries, cemetery, and Mitar's memorable hall materially and morally since its foundation, and sincerely worked to restore the order in the shrine of Christianity, which was once distorted. It is natural for sincere Christians to pay the gratitude to your hard work by serving you a bottle of cold water or a flower, but there has been a situation where irresponsible and groundless false accusations are prevalent. Some of the problems were taken care of through a painful procedures with the criminal charges filed by Union Church, their appeal, and adjudication. The truth was revealed last April 14th by the national law. The verdict was Union Church was not expelled, and 100th anniversary memorable church had never interfered their business or ministry. The accusation of Saul West Presbytery of Presbyterian denomination against Reverend Isitar is about the calling system of elders and deaconess that was already approved at the regular committee meeting of the council held in April 2006. Moreover, lately, they even instigated unspeakable heresy issue. There is a conspiracy behind it for sure. I can't help feeling overwhelmingly sorry for the council to be incapable of coping with these difficult problems, even though the members of 100th Anniversary Memorial Church are under a great pain. Dear brothers and sisters, I firmly believe that our Lord, who founded and grew this 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, would finally silence all these fluctuating waves. The executive committee of the council, which joined the foundation of the church, will do its best to keep the church safe as a safeguard according to the basic principle, we serve the church as a guardian. May the grace of God be with 100th Anniversary Memorial Church and its beloved members forever. September 3rd, 2009, Juridical Foundation, the Council for the 100th Anniversary of the Korean Church, the Director General Chung Ji-kyung. This letter from Reverend Chung Ji-kyung had become his will to our church. After promising to do his best in being an enclosure to protect our church, Reverend Chung Ji-kyung, who had always lived a novel and gentle life above all, was embraced by God. Now Reverend Chung will be a firm enclosure for us in heaven with the Lord as he had promised. Now it is up to us to strongly live up to Reverend Chung's promise and keep Yanghazin as the holy ground of the Korean church with fairness and impartiality. Dear brothers and sisters, do you know that your God is the God who had exchanged the lives of four guardsmen with the life of worthless Peter? The God who exchanged the life of a judge with the life of a youth with no belongings named Chung Ji-kyung. Do you know the price that God had to pay to have you sit in this chair of life? Do you believe that God exchanged the life of His only Son to save a filthy sinner like us? Do you believe that God ignored the cries of His Son Jesus on the cross, shouting, "How can you forsake me to exchange our lives with His only Son Jesus?" Then we should entrust ourselves to that God and follow the Lord with firm faith and become gentle Christian. then that is when our lives will bear fruit of truth, life and love of the Lord, and that is when our lives will become a message of the Lord as novel as crystal and unlike the life of Reverend Chung Jin-hyung. God, you have exchanged the lives of at least four guardsmen with the life of Peter, a poor, ignorant fisherman from Galilee. I thank you, Lord, for being my God. God, you have exchanged the life of a judge with the Reverend Chung Jin-kyung, a youth with no belongings. I thank you for being on site with me in my everyday life. Thank you for exchanging the life of your only son, Jesus, with my filthy life in order to give me eternal life. Thank you for ignoring the agony and cries of Jesus on the cross to become the master of my life. Now let us all firmly put down our roots of faith in God. Please hold on to us with your spirit so we do not tremble, and make us into Christians with gentle faith who only obey to your commands. Make our lives bear fruits of truth, love, and life. Make our lives to be like the life of Reverend Chung Jin-kyung day by day, so that our daily lives accumulate as a novel and holy messages of the Lord. Amen.